Yes, Dick Fentlin, Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Oh, the jokes are done by everyone, but the best thing in Tyfe is me. Oh, now let's see. Oh, yes. Oh, my flat has never looked more romantic. Now, is there anything I've forgotten? Ah, a nice record. Music to mellow her mood. What have we? The Dam Busters March? Hardly. Ah, this is the one. I'm in the mood for love at 78 revolutions a minute. Yes, this is it. Now, where did I put the gramophone handle? That'll be her.
On my way!
Gad, how impatient they get. Come in, you lovely, desirable creature.
Well, thank you, Bentley. I call it a very friendly welcome.
Oh, no.
Bentley, don't stand there with your eyes sticking out like chapel hat pegs. Don't you recognize me, your chum, the great tufted Jim?
No, I know who it is. Now, what's the idea of just coming round tonight?
I'm throwing a surprise party for all the members of the cast to take it from here.
Well, any other night, Jim, I'd be glad to grace my presence. But... tonight, I'm afraid you'll have to exclude me out. Sorry, old man. Where are you holding the party?
Here.
Hey?
That's the surprise.
Just a minute, Jim. Jim, look, you've got no right to suddenly plant a party on me like this. If you're so keen on a party, have it down on your farm.
Well, I'm afraid I can't do that, unfortunately. You see, there's... well, at the moment, I've got every room full of unexpected guests.
Oh?
The pigsty fell in, you see. So, see, Billy, you just simply can't have the
party. Jim. Eh? Look, I am not having the whole Tyfe cast here tonight. It couldn't be more inconvenient. You see, I... well, I'll be frank. I have arranged... how shall I put it? A tête-à-tête with a jeune fille.
A what?
Une assignation. Une soirée d'amour.
Bentley, would you be so kind as to revert to the language which you were brought up to use?
All right. I've lined up a beaut jailer.
I think the French would be more intelligible. Bentley, surely you're not up to all your old larks.
Old larks?
Well, it's a kind way of saying elderly birds.
This one's not elderly. Oh. She's very young and rather lovely. I met her at that little espresso bar around the corner.
Oh, Il Purgatorio.
That is the one. I go there frequently after the opera.
Oh, come off it. That's not what you go there after.
Oh, well, scoff if you like, but it's results that count. And last night, this girl sat down at my table. We got chatting and, well, she agreed to come round this evening to listen to some records. I told her I've got high five.
Oh, you've still got that, haven't you? I thought the wintergreen ointment would have shifted that.
It's nothing to do with fibrositis.
Oh,
it's a gramophone term.
Oh, I see.
Means using a new needle. Fool of a fellow. So, Jim, you understand why I can't have visitors right now, don't you?
Well,
you're a man of the world. Put yourself in my place.
That's just what I have done, Bentley. I intend to stay here.
Well, I
consider that this before Tyfe party for the cast is absolutely essential.
Well, I don't see why. It's...
well, because. The trouble with a long-running show like Tyfe is this. You see, the cast get too used to each other. It's like a marriage.
A marriage?
Yes. After the exciting honeymoon period, the relationship settles down into something more prosaic. Dull hatred.
Oh, nonsense.
It's not nonsense. And let me warn you this. Once that sort of atmosphere creeps into a show, pretty soon the audience notices it. And then what happens? The cheers turn to boos.
Jim, really? Now you're exaggerating.
I know what I'm talking about. Anything to do with turning to booze, Jim's the expert. So I'm having the whole shower up here for a pep talk. Now let's get the whole thing sorted. Hello.
She's here. What can I say? Jim, look.
Do you mind if I introduce you as my butcher?
I don't mind.
Well, come on, then. Don't leave me hanging about this freezing London all night.
Bentley, you didn't tell me she was a debutante.
Oh. That's not her. That's Wallace Eaton. You must have left the door open. Come in, Wal.
Oh, so this is the place, eh? Oh, hello there, Jim.
Hello, Wal.
Yeah. Cool. This is a scruffy-looking hole for a party. Here, what are them things stuck on the end of them toothpicks?
Wallace, those are stuffed olives.
Don't they get in the way when you pick your teeth?
Don't criticize, Wal, you ignorant. Just make yourself at home.
Right.
Now, Wallace, put your boots back on this minute. Look, look, Wal, it's been very nice, but it's her, and the place looking like a doss house already.
Oh. Don't panic, Bendy, it's only the keynotes.
Keynotes? Oh, heck, that makes seven.
What are you moaning about now?
What am I? There's seven people here, and I planned it just for Fiona and me. An evening at her.
Well, you certainly have had her. Come on, let the keynotes in.
Oh, no.
Hello, Johnny. Good to see
Hello,
you.
Hello, Jim Boyd. Nice to see you. Here. What's Mr. Baker looking so sulky about?
I'm not looking sulky, Johnson. I just want to make it clear that I'd be very glad if you'd each finish your salted peanut and leave.
Well, that's all in the get-together spirit, is it? Just because we only sing one number and a signature tune, there's no need to treat us like an old underling.
What do you mean? Signature tune? 10 years you've been singing that, and I haven't made out the words yet.
Hello? It's all coming out now, is it? May I ask what musical knowledge you have of phrasing and diction and crotchets and minims? What's them others, Miff?
Semiquavers?
That's it. That's the boy. I will not be criticised by them as is ignorant of my craft. Lousy comedian.
Hey. Just a minute, Johnny. How dare you bring my name into this squabble?
Oh, I didn't bring you in, Jim.
You said lousy comedians. I know what I'm being talked about. You and your commercials, all you're doing...
Quiet, please. There's somebody else at the door.
That'll be Harry Rabinowitz with the Review Orchestra.
That's another 29 people. No, this is gone far enough. You outside? Go away and stay away.
Oh, it's Fiona.
Oh, my dear. I honestly didn't realize it was you. I'm afraid a few people have turned up unexpectedly, but I'll get rid of them, and you'll be able to enjoy me unhampered. Everybody, this is Fiona.
Hello. I say, Jim, what a lovely flat. Yes. Those things on the mantelpiece, are they a pair of Spanish goatskin wine bottles?
No, they're Wal's boots. Wallace, put them on again, Wal, and show a bit of coot. I say, my dear young lady, old Bentley never warned me that you were quite so, beautiful. I don't believe you and I have met formally.
Then let's keep it that way. Now, look, Fiona, don't worry about these people. They're just going.
Yes, Bentley, I see that would be the decent thing to do, to interrupt a tete-a-tete with a lady of this... potential would be less than sportsmanlike. All right, everybody out.
Oh, good.
Come on, get your coats on. Yes. Good night,
come
Bentley.
Come on, yes, good night. Good night. Yes.
Good night, Bentley.
Jim, I want to tell you this. You're a real pal, and this gesture has restored my respect for you more than any get-together could.
You do the same for me. Good night, old Bentley.
Good night, Jim.
Come on, all out. No hanging about. Come on.
Yes, everybody, sir. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Well, alone at last. I think this is going to be an evening I'll always remember.
I sincerely hope so, my dear.
Jim! Let me in! It's my flat! It's my girl!
Come and see me!
In the house, you're the pretty little girl who make my life complete. Tonight, put a light in the window to prove. Tell your mother.
Tell your mother.
Baby brother.
Baby brother.
Father too.
Father too.
Let them know.
Let them know.
There's no other.
There's no other.
No, there's not another boy who'll love you like I do. Your finger,
third finger,
third finger
of my hand,
of your hand.
Put a light,
put a light
in the window,
in the window.
'Cause tonight I'm gonna get a wedding band.
Come on, Mr. Clump. Drink up now. Let's have your glasses. Haven't seen you in here for some time, Mr. Clump.
No, Ted, you haven't. Very observant of you. No. For the past few months, I've been obliged to stay away from my regular haunts.
Oh.
So I left town and I went for a nice walking tour of the breweries.
Oh. But, what made you go?
Ted, you won't believe this.
No?
But some crank has been trying to have me running on a charge of obtaining money under false pretenses.
No.
One of my own flesh and bone. A cousin, what lives in Canada, a cousin called Wilbraham Glum. The dirty, rotten, stinking cur.
Yeah, you know, you better give me the old story, Mr. Clum.
I had every intention of that, Ted. Well, give us another brand. Now then, some months ago, Ron and his fiancée, that's Eth, his fiancée, they was, as usual, on the sofa in our front room, in what you might call a cuddlesome mood.
Here, just the two of us, with my face against your dear pullover, and my... Oh, Ron, do that again. Oh, it makes me go all... Oh.
What does it?
When you run your fingers through my hair like that, are you trying to send me crazy?
No, Eth. I'm looking for my chewing gum.
Oh, Ron. Oh, Ron. Why can't we get married and have done with this torment? 7 years we've been engaged, Ron. 7 years today.
Many happy returns.
Any returns, Ron. I want to be your wife. Oh, when I think of other girls, you remember Muriel Simpson, what was?
What was what, Eth?
What was Muriel Simpson? That was her name. She's now green.
Probably something she ate.
She married Ted Green.
Ted?
Well, she got engaged the same day as us. And look at her now. She's got a home and a lovely bouncing baby boy. Is it fair, Ron?
No, Eth, it's Ginger.
Ron, see? It's no good you trying to comfort me. I know we said we'd wait till we could afford it, but 7 years.
Now, don't fret, Eth. I must get a job eventually.
Ron, if you want my opinion, I think we should throw caution to the winds.
Right, are we? Yes.
Really,
we go on, Eff, just a kiss,
no,
we start.
Hello, hello, hello. Just in time, I copped you just in time, eh? Don't worry, you young things, I'm going straight out. Rom, your mum wants to borrow your mouth organ. She's got to grate some cheese. Where is it, boy? Where's your mouth organ?
Mr. Glum.
Hey?
Ron and I have reached a sort of crisis.
Oh, dear, yes.
We've had enough of being engaged.
Ah, now, Eff, now, Eff. Now, wait a minute. That's silly talk, that is. What else can you do? What's the alternative to engaged?
Vacant.
Oh, dear, no. Only in your case, my boy. Hello, hello. That's the front door. I wonder who that can be. Ron?
No, it's not me, Dad.
Go and see who it is!
Oh.
Look, Ed, while he's out the room, let's talk a bit of sense here. The happiness of my Ronnie boy means a lot to me. Eh, look at me. I'm an old man. And all I got left in the world is him. And, what's her name?
Mrs. Glum.
That's her, yeah. So don't go being impetuous about rushing into marriage. Try it my way for another 7 or 8 years.
But Mr. Glum, it's all very well. Hello.
Dad, Dad, it's a telegram.
Telegram? Who's it from?
A boy on a bike. I don't know his name.
Give it here. Give it here, you're useless. Let's get me glasses on and have a read of it now, then. Landed Southampton yesterday. Stop. Be visiting you tomorrow. Stop. Can't wait to see my namesake. Signed, Cousin Wilbraham. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, that's fractured it, that has. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Who is this Wilbraham?
Oh.
It's Dad's cousin, the rich one. He's Canadian. Oh, he lives somewhere in northern Canada.
And he's coming over to see his namesake.
Oh, I love you well.
Who is there here that's called Wilbraham?
Only my whippet.
That little dog?
Yeah.
Well, why should your father get so upset about his cousin wanting to see your whippet?
Oh, dear. Oh, it was only that. Oh, I've gone all faint. Oh, it's all going to come out. Oh, I'm done for. Oh, dear.
Well, we better do something. Oh, here, help me. Where's his bed?
Under the sink.
Under the... Oh, not the whippet.
No, not...
Your father. Oh. Come on, Ron, now give me a hand.
Oh, dear.
We've got to get him here.
Well, Mr. Glum, I must confess I share F's puzzlement. Why was the telegram so upsetting?
Ted, it was like very fate itself was perspiring against me.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry,
look,
but
Ted,
I don't...
I'll tell you.
Yeah, right.
This rich cousin Wilbraham, I used to write to him sometimes, you see.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, I suddenly had a brainwave. I wrote and told him as how Ron and F had got married and had a baby. A baby what they'd named after him.
Of
course, William, you see, William, he's a bachelor.
Yeah.
And as I anticipated, he was so overcome with overjoyment, he's been sending £1 a week ever since to help with the infant's upbringing.
But look, if Ron and F had been getting £1 a week, I don't see why the upset.
Ted, what a world of tragedy lies within that simple, tiny word if.
You mean you've kept it?
No, I haven't kept it, Ted. You know me better than that.
What you done with it?
Spent it. And I might say that the most dodgy quarter of an hour of my whole life was explaining of this to Ron and F.
Oh, Mr. Glum, how could you? How could you possibly?
Don't cry, F. Here, blow.
I don't want the mouth organ.
Oh.
Ron, with that £1 a week, we could have been married for 2 years. It's our rightful money your father stole.
Stole?
Yes.
Stole? Is that the thanks I get?
Thanks?
I took that money for one reason, because I did not want you to start your married life on charity.
Oh.
It was a matter of principle.
Oh. Oh, may you be forgiven.
Eh, please believe me. That sort of money corrupts. Oh, I've seen it happen so often. And once you've crept into the corrupt, you can't creep out again. don't want to see this happen to two youngsters like you, so unwillingly I took the money myself.
No.
I just thought of it as a father's duty, and I hope you realize what a predicament my unselfishness has landed me in.
Hey?
Cousin Wilbraham is coming here tomorrow, expecting to see you two not only married, but with a two-year-old baby. Tomorrow! Not today, tomorrow. I could get you married in time, all right, yes, but the other part, where can I obtain a baby at short notice?
Well, I could pop round and ask Muriel Simpson what was. She's got a lovely... Oh, no, I've just remembered... They've gone to bury St. Edmunds.
Oh, dear, I didn't even know he was
dead. Will you shut up?
Nobody said.
Shut up, Ron, you're not contributing. We've got a discussion on here.
Yes.
Now then, I've got it.
What?
Mrs. Stevenson from next door but three. I'll wager she'd lend us one of hers for half a bottle of Stark.
Do you think so?
I know her. For a full bottle, we could have the old nine. That's it. I'll nip round first thing in the morning. Oh, listen, what? Now what? Ron, open the door,
please. Oh, Mr. Clum, perhaps it's another telegram. Perhaps his ship's been delayed.
Oh, that would be an help. The more time we got to prepare this, the better. Now, what is it? Well, Ron, what is it?
I opened the door, Dad.
Was it the telegraph boy again?
No, Ed. It's a man with a suitcase.
Man with a suitcase. Oh, no.
Well,
oh.
Do you mind if I come in?
Oh, dear.
Hi there, family.
Oh, cousin Wilfred. Well, come on, Cousin Wilbraham. Have some more of the sponge cake. Mrs. Glum made it herself. Go on, let me break you off another chunk.
No, I just can't eat. I'm so excited. Why? You know, that's why I come a day earlier than I planned. Oh, yeah. I just can't wait to see little Wilbraham.
Oh, you will.
Yes, Ron's just gone to fetch him from next door but three.
Yes. Oh, the lady there's a friend of ours. A Stark friend. Oh, there's Ron coming in the back door now. I'll just go through and give him an hand with the pram. Give Cousin Wilb some more sponge cake.
It's all right.
No, please.
Ron. Don't bring it in yet. Not till I've checked it. What took you so long?
Well, there was no answer from the Stevensons, Dad, so I went up the road and took the first pram I saw.
Oh, dear. Well, pull the covers back and let's have a look at what you got.
Righto, Dad.
Oh, you stupid cloth-headed mutt!
Dad, please, that is no way to talk to a little bubba.
Oh, no. Bubba? I'm not talking to no bubba. Unless it's you who's a bubba. I'm talking to you. Oh, you clothhead. Just take it straight back to its mother, Mrs. Lee Fu Wong.
Up in there. I'm waiting.
Now, Ron, listen. Yeah. Get this tray. Get this into your noodle, quick. This is urgent. Mm. Go out again and come back with the right one this time. Have you got that?
The right one. Right,
I want you to come into this room carrying a little Wilbraham what no one can argue about. Understand?
Nobody has.
Have you got it?
No.
Oh,
now I see what you have in mind. Good. Leave it to me, Dad. Right.
Hey, come on now.
Just come in. There's been a slight technical hitch. Ron's had to change the baby.
Well, you know, I was just telling your daughter-in-law I'm going to do a lot for that kid. Why, back in Canada, I'm a pretty big guy. I guess I'm what they call a lumber king.
Very much my own opinion of you, cousin.
Yeah, I'm going to fix things, so when I die, a substantial sum's going to be left to you for this little guy.
Oh, Wilbraham, you're a gent you are. Let's hope that unhappy day will not be for, months.
Ron's coming back. And look, he's got a bundle in his arms.
Oh, this is it. Get your check put out, Cousin Wilb.
Here we are, little Wilbraham.
Oh, Ron, let me make sure quick that you...
No, it's all right, Dad. I remembered. Cousin Wilbraham, your namesake. Look.
Wow.
Oh, poor lummy, it's that perishing whippet. Oh, Ron.
Dad, you're hurting my neck.
Oh,
Binovitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. John Hobday was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...
Yeah.